From the best-selling Christian Heroes Then and Now series, YWAM Publishing presents Gladys Aylward, The Adventure of a Lifetime, by Janet and Jeff Benge, read for you by Rebecca Gallagher. For information about other titles in this outstanding series, please visit our website at ywampublishing.com or call us at 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. Back Up the Tracks. Gladys Aylward pulled herself up to her full 5-foot height as she peered over the edge of the wooden train platform. Eerie flashes of orange light lit up the sky and the forest to the east. Loud cracks of gunfire and the boom of cannons rolled through the darkness. Ahead lay the railroad tracks. Even though the train had rumbled down them less than an hour ago, they were already covered with the powdery snow that continued to fall, blanketing everything. Gladys pulled her fur coat tight around her and shuddered. She didn't want to step off the platform and begin her trek, but she had no choice. The only reason she had no choice now was that she had refused to get off the train earlier when asked to, and the frustrated conductor had allowed her to stay on board as the train wound its way through the Siberian forest. Now Gladys chided herself for being so stubborn and not getting off the train in Chita as everyone else had. But she'd thought that every mile traveled down the line was a mile closer to China, and it was. But it was also a mile traveled farther into a war zone. It had all looked so easy back at Muller's shipping agency in Haymarket, London, where the clerk had traced out the route on a map.
"Over the English Channel by boat from Hull," he had said. "Board the train in The Hague, Holland, and overland through Germany, Poland, Russia, Siberia, and on to Tientsin in China."
Gladys frowned. As easy as he had made it sound at the time, the clerk had also mentioned that there was a war going on in Siberia. But to Gladys, then 28 years old, it seemed an unimportant detail in the grand scheme of getting herself to China. Now she found herself in the middle of that unimportant detail. The train she'd been riding was stopped at the front line of the little war going on between Russia and China. It had delivered fresh Russian soldiers and now waited to pick up the dead and wounded and carry them away from the front. But how long it would take to fill up the train with the dead and wounded was anyone's guess. Perhaps a week, perhaps a month. Possibly not until the new year, 1931. No one seemed to know. Finally, the frustrated conductor had given Gladys a cup of strong black coffee and pointed back up the railroad tracks in the direction from which they had come. Although he spoke no English, his message was clear. Gladys was not welcome to stay and wait for the return train ride. She was going to have to walk back to Chita. With her bags in hand, Gladys finally stepped down onto the railroad tracks and began her trek. As she walked, she recalled the landscape. She hadn't seen a single person, not even the light from a house or a barn, on the journey down. For 30 miles, there was nothing but thick, dark forest. An icy wind whipped at Gladys's exposed face. Gladys could feel its bitter cold seep through her woolen stockings and sweater. With each whip of the wind around her, she felt her strength being sapped. Soon she could no longer carry her bags, so she slid them along on the snow. Her smaller bag had a pot and a kettle tied to its outside that jangled loudly with each slide. Gladys had been stumbling along for about an hour when she realized that the orange glow of cannon fire was no longer on the horizon. Even though she'd been at the front line, the thought of people being nearby had been strangely comforting. Now she was completely alone in the vast Siberian wilderness, trudging along snow-covered train tracks. Every so often, a large clump of snow slipped off a tree limb and landed with a loud thud. Gladys would stop and peer into the dark shadows of the forest and wonder whether it was the sound of a bear or a wolf nearby. Such animals were out there, and a lone woman in the forest at night was easy prey for them. Gladys began wondering whether she would actually make it back to Chita, or whether the bitter cold or a wild beast would claim her life first. But she had to make it back. She had things to do in China. God had called her there. Surely he wouldn't let her die in the snow in a Siberian forest. Slowly, Gladys shuffled on up the tracks. The hours folded one into another. Her feet became numb, and she began dragging and sliding them along, just as she did her two suitcases. But stubborn as she was, Gladys finally had to admit she was totally exhausted. What should she do? If she stopped, she could make herself some hot coffee and eat a stale cookie. But would she be able to go on after that? She'd heard stories of people who, when trapped in the cold and snow, had become so exhausted they calmly sat down and froze to death. Gladys was scared of that happening to her, yet she knew that if she kept going, in the end she would fall face down in the snow. Then, with nothing warm in her stomach, she would not have the energy to get up again. Finally, she could no longer resist the lure of a stale cookie and hot cup of coffee. She scooped away the snow until she felt one of the wooden railroad ties beneath it. With both hands, she took her small spirit stove from her bag, set it down on the tie, and tried to light it. Her fingers were so thick and numb that it took her 4 fumbled attempts before a yellow-blue flame finally began to glow from the stove. Gladys placed some snow into the kettle and set the kettle on the stove to melt and boil the snow. With a cookie and hot coffee inside her, Gladys felt even more tired, but she dared not sleep in this frozen wasteland. In the end, though, she gave in, but she promised herself that she would sleep for only a little while. She arranged her suitcases around herself and pulled the top of her fur coat up over her head. Then she rolled up into a ball and fell asleep.